This is CBS News Bay Area with Juliette Goodrich.
Well, we begin breaking news tonight. Just in the past hour, District Attorney Pamela Price announced her office will file charges against the three Alameda police officers involved in the death of Mario Gonzalez. He died while being pinned to the ground during an arrest in 2021. But the DA at the time declined to press charges. Ann Makovic joins me now with new developments in this case. Obviously, a major new direction here.
Yes, and the press conference just wrapping up a little over 30 minutes ago. The charges, involuntary manslaughter, one count for each officer involved. And this is coming 3 years after Mario Gonzalez died in Alameda. Here's some body cam footage from that day. Police were called to Oak Street on reports of a man acting erratically. Officers Eric McKinley, James Fisher, and Cameron Leahy found Gonzalez here with two bottles of booze they suspect he stole from a nearby store, and they tried to arrest him for theft. They took him to the ground with his arms behind his back and held him there until he lost consciousness, and then he died. A coroner's report pointed to a combination of drugs along with the physical stress of the altercation. District Attorney Pamela Price, who's also in the midst of a recall election, just spoke about the new charges.
What the public should know is that I am walled off from the case. I will not be participating and have not participated in the ultimate decision about the case. And I'm very proud that my public accountability unit, which I created in January of 2023, has been able to independently assess the evidence and come to a decision about this case.
The city of Alameda has already reached two separate settlements with Gonzalez's family. As for the officers now facing charges, one of them no longer works for the city of Alameda. The other two have been placed on administrative leave. The city sent out a statement saying, in part, the city of Alameda remains deeply committed to transparency and accountability and will continue to share additional updates when new information is available. If the officers are eventually convicted, the penalty for involuntary manslaughter is up to 4 years in state prison.
All right, Ann, thank you so much for that update. Now we turn to our other top story. A former South Bay High School student is seeking justice more than 20 years after she says she was sexually assaulted by a teacher. That teacher, 56-year-old Sean Thomas, was arrested just last month. And this week, the alleged victim filed a complaint against the school district. Sean Thomas is now charged with rape and sexual assault of a minor. Three suspects in San Jose are accused of kidnapping and torturing another adult man. Police arrested 49-year-old Duck Nguyen, 50-year-old Kim Ho, and 30-year-old Dayton Pham. They're facing multiple charges, including robbery, kidnapping, torture, and assault with a deadly weapon. This is the San Jose home where police say this all happened. They say the victim was tortured for 2 days straight and then was released. We talked to a neighbor of the suspects.
I thought they just... They're drinking, and that's what I, thought every other house is having a party or something. Other than that, I did not know there was a kidnapping. That's really shocking.
We have confirmed that one of the suspects, 49-year-old Duck Nguyen, is also alleged to be involved in a string of organized retail thefts responsible for $150,000 worth of stolen merchandise. Authorities say they found items from Home Depot, Target, Kohl's, Lowe's, Macy's, and Sunglass Hut.
Walking into the residence, there was a portion that was cordoned off, really secured with security doors. And once we entered that portion of the property to clear it, it looked like we were walking down the aisle of a Home Depot.
Authorities arrested 13 suspects in connection to that theft ring. Critics have blamed the rise in retail thefts on Prop 47, but they say they've gathered enough signatures for a November ballot measure that would revise part of it. Prop 47 was approved by voters 10 years ago. It reduced some drug offenses and reclassified thefts under $950 from felonies to misdemeanors. Now, the new proposal would change the law so a third misdemeanor theft could become a felony. The same would go for possession of hard drugs. It would also incentivize drug treatment and job training. Small business owners from San Francisco and Oakland gathered today in support of the proposal. One restaurant owner said his customers have been robbed at gunpoint.
If customers don't come to our business corridor, then that means we don't have business. That means that we don't have hours. We can't employ our people, and people don't have jobs.
Others say walking back Prop 47 is not the answer. The CEO of the Anti-Recidivism Coalition says putting more people in jail does not address the root problem.
A driver of mass incarceration is poverty. The driver, when we look at some of these retail thefts, is poverty. People are struggling. So what do we do as a community, as a society, as a government, as a country to shift that?
This new measure is largely funded by big retailers like Target and Home Depot. Supporters had to collect a little less than 600,000 signatures to qualify for the ballot. They say they're submitting more than 900,000. Elections officials will now have to verify those signatures. Now that death row at San Quentin prison is closing, some people down in Chino are raising concerns over a plan that's moving inmates to their city. Some death row inmates are being relocated to Chino's California Institution for Men down in Southern California. Local leaders say that Chino's prison is right in the middle of town, making the transfer a safety concern. They're pointing to three high-profile prison escapes that have taken place over recent years. One 1983 escape resulted in several murders. They also say their calls to invest more prison facilities have gone unheeded.
Oh, gosh. These prisoners are the worst of the worst. I mean, they have committed murder. They have committed rape. They have committed atrocities that you wouldn't even want to know about.
Governor Newsom has made reforming San Quentin a key priority of his administration, proposing last year to reshape the prison into a facility focused on rehabilitation. San Francisco transit officials say they want to improve safety at the West Portal intersection, the site where a family of four was killed during a deadly collision. Under these proposed changes they're making, the city would restrict left-hand turns through the intersection, a move intended to protect pedestrians.
Here in San Francisco, on a typical year, about 40% of our traffic deaths are a result of drivers making left turns and not seeing pedestrians in the crosswalk.
The changes could also include adding more space for pedestrians to cross. The next step would be to gather community input before sending the plan to the SFMTA board. San Francisco city leaders dressed in antique clothing gathered at Lotus Fountain once again today to commemorate the 1906 earthquake. Sirens went off around 5:12 a.m., the time when the magnitude 7.9 quake struck. They also laid a wreath dedicated to the memory of late Senator Dianne Feinstein and the 3,000 people who died in the earthquake. After the ceremony, there was a procession to the Golden Hydrant on 20th and Church, where it received a fresh coat of paint. It is said to be one of the few working hydrants after the quake and the fire that followed. San Francisco is now suing Oakland over the plan to add the word San Francisco Bay to its name. Ann Makovic has been following this story about the airports and spoke to San Francisco's city attorney about this now official legal move.
Neither of these airports is in San Francisco, but they both claim the right to use the name. And now it's up to a federal court.
We do think that this litigation is a waste of taxpayer resources. If Oakland had chosen to engage with us, we would not be here.
While officials with the Port of Oakland say they're just trying to clear up confusion over their airport's location, which sits on the San Francisco Bay, San Francisco City Attorney David Chu says it could cause travel chaos.
We are concerned about travelers who are going to miss their flights, have mishaps, suffer economic loss. We're concerned about the reputational damage to the Bay Area when it comes to the travel experience.
At least one airline, Azores, has begun using the new name on their flight reservation system, which Chu says means that SFO has already suffered economic harm.
The name that they have chosen appears to be intentional to divert travelers that would otherwise be going to SFO.
In a statement, the Port of Oakland said the renaming does not infringe upon SFO's mark. We will vigorously defend our right to claim our spot on the San Francisco Bay. We are standing up for Oakland and our East Bay community. But San Francisco has owned and invested in the federal trademark for San Francisco International Airport for 70 years. And while the legal wrangling begins, the court of public opinion is already in session. Oakland Vice Mayor Rebecca Kaplan posting recently, how about if we call ours Sunny Side of the Bay and they can call theirs Millbrae, which is where SFO is actually located.
San Mateo County had a special ceremony today, shining a light on the first responders and bystanders who stepped in during emergencies and saved a life. The event held at the Foster City Fire Department brought together seven survivors of medical emergencies who all shared their stories and extended a thank you to the people who took action during their moment of need.
I just wanted to say that I wouldn't be alive here without the first responders.
So the two right people happened to be there at the right time.
She was there. She got up and she grabbed that AED and she saved my life.
Fire officials pointed out that if any link in the chain of helpers was missing, these stories could have had very different endings. He was a singer who left his heart in San Francisco. Fans got a chance to collect some rare items belonging to legendary singer Tony Bennett that were auctioned off. Hundreds of the artist's old paintings, watches, even letters from presidents and historic figures went up for sale, including one from Martin Luther King Jr., thanking him for coming and entertaining folks during the Selma to Montgomery march.
The best thing about that letter is we not only have the envelope with some of his math equations, where he's doodling on an envelope like we do, only it's Martin Luther King's envelope, but we also have the postscript at the end in Martin Luther King's hand saying how great it was to see him.
Bennett had sold over 50 million records worldwide and won 20 Grammys during his lifetime before passing away last summer at the age of 96. Thank you so much for watching. The news continues at 8 over on PIX Plus, 44 Cable 12. We'll see you right back here at 11 p.m.